Welcome to Across the Dietary Universe. My name is Tamir, of course, the host, and we have with us today Maureen. How do you say your last name?
Basie.
Okay, Maureen Basie. I should have figured that out before we hit record, but it is what it is. It's okay. Maureen Basie is the founder of Celiac Cruise, the first cruise dedicated specifically to celiacs. Maureen is an expert in health advocacy and specialized travel for celiac disease and food allergies. Welcome aboard the Dietary Universe spaceship. We're very happy to have you on today, Maureen.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for doing what you do as well. So I appreciate the invitation.
Cool. And we were just saying earlier that, you know, we got or we found out about you through Dave, or as people know him, Gluten-Free Dave. And we're just singing his praises a little bit. But he came on as a passenger on one of your cruises. And when was that?
That was January of 2020. So that was the first time we met Dave in person. Yes, feels like a life ago.
And was that the first cruise, or you had more cruises before that? It was.
That was the inaugural. Yes, that was the first one. There was a few more that were planned, but obviously those plans shifted a tad. But that was the first one, and we had about 520 people on the first one.
Awesome. So this is going to be interesting today for people who may have heard about it, but they want to know a little bit more. And everyone is itching to get to their vacation or planning their vacation very, very soon. I think by the summer, everyone's going to have enough of everything. And they're saying, I'm just going to go travel and that's it. I don't really see. I see a stampede happening, in my opinion, to be honest. So this is for your summer planning. And hopefully we have some summer sales potentially scheduled.
Yes. Awesome. We actually just released a summer one because of ongoing requests to go to a specific location. So that was just released.
What locations do you go to?
Well, our first, the inaugural the January before was the Caribbean. So essentially it was the Bahamas. It was a quick 3-night out of Port Canaveral, which is Orlando. As people know, the cruise ships a lot of times are based in Florida. And it was also a way that, we were amazed. People came from all over. But it was a location that people can get to relatively easy in and out of Orlando. So that was the first one. The next one, March 31st of this year, we are heading to Cozumel as well, in addition to the Bahamas. And then the one we just launched this summer is going to Alaska. So, and then we'll be going to Europe for the first time this fall.
Wow. Cool. So you have the entire cruise ship the popular destinations on lock. You got it ready to go. And that's very, very cool. I've never been on a cruise ship, full disclosure. So I don't know too much about the experience, but I've always wanted to go on because I love the water and I love boats and I love sailing. Yeah. Not that I sail myself, but my friend has a boat and whatever. It's nice. And, we grew up, I'm based in Vancouver, so we don't have, we have a lot of islands here, and we take these big ferries. They're essentially like mini cruise ships to get to your destination. So I just grew up on the water, going to different islands and so on. So the idea of a cruise ship is actually interesting for me. And I imagine you've been on cruise ships in the past and you realized food sucks for people with celiac, and then you found the problem. So tell me a little bit about the inception of Celiac Cruise and why you wanted to do it. And obviously you're not someone who gets seasick. So tell us a little bit about...
No. So essentially I grew up in Florida by way of Philadelphia, but I spent most of my childhood in Florida. Did go on a decent number of cruises, ironically. And, it was something that to me was very fun for, it's a multi-generational type of vacation, and that we would travel with grandparents and cousins and things like that. And it was kind of a one size fits all type experience for people because there's so much to do on these ships. It's also, it's a great way to be able to see a lot of locations. And there's different concepts, obviously, and we can get into that. The two different cruise lines we partner with are a little bit different, but, as it relates to the celiac piece of it. So I had cruised a decent amount prior to multiple diagnoses of celiac in our family. And I had a very stark contrast of what it felt like beforehand and then what it felt like after. And I can speak to vacation in general on that, not just specifically cruising and really life, right? Yeah. That whole like whimsical, let's pack our bags, focusing on, you know, what bathing suit am I going to wear? Or, you know, what shoes are we going to pack? All of a sudden, the worries and the planning of a vacation completely spun to what would I do if you're replaying scenarios again and again. And, you know, it just kind of came to me of like, wait a second, there has to be another way. There has to be another way for people to be only able to get away and one, just really unplug for a few days and not, even if you were able to eat safely, which a lot of these cruise lines do have an excellent, you know, they're able to handle multiple allergens. But to us and our family, obviously safety being number one, the thing to me is that social piece of it. Like you go and you sit down and you have to have these conversations and then you're debating, do I trust what you're saying? You get the food and it's the, is this really okay? It's just really, really hard to completely let it ever leave your mind. So that was kind of the inception. And I know an amazing human being named Connie Saunders, who has been in the travel industry for a long time. She's done a lot of really philanthropic based group travel. So I reached out to her and I was like, so I have this idea. What do you think? Can we do this? And she just knew exactly where to go with that idea. So, you know, we've kind of been on this awesome mission together to really, really, you know, use our brains and our skills to create this for many people.
Right. So from what you're saying, the key factor here is, okay, fine. If you're celiac, you can go on it. Most top cruise lines, and they should be able to accommodate to some degree, but you're not really on vacation anymore because now you're just monitoring. Now you have another job to do, which is monitoring the food that you get for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you're constantly worrying. So if you really want to get that state of, let's call it celiac bliss, then you'd want to do that in a place where they know 100% in advance that they're going to be taking care and accommodating for a large group of celiacs, and therefore you don't have to worry about anything. And that's a really neat innovation that you were able to do that, because I do feel still, despite many of the I don't want to say innovations, but despite the progress in the kitchens in having more diet-friendly meals, and let's say it's plant-based or whatever it is, there's still kind of a social taboo that if you want to get what you actually need to make you feel healthy, it's somehow potentially going to upset the kitchen and their routine. And so you're sort of innovating and pushing the envelope here and saying, hey, well, it doesn't need to be like that. Why don't we just group us all together and make it happen?
And normalize it, you know? Yeah. And I think one thing that was, you know, I'm very, very passionate about this, start to finish every element of it, which can be dangerous at times. But one thing that we did not anticipate the level of our guests' feedback was how they just loved getting to know other people who were living the same life and sharing stories. And, you know, I always say every person I talk to on the phone, like I genuinely don't ever want to hang up because you get the chance to really share your stories. And it's really a neat thing. And for kids, you know, we have all of these kids who connected, who could like share a plate of food for the first time and then would go home, you know, in teen years and talk about, and they continue to talk and they're going to come back and see each other again on the next cruise. So it is so much more than just a safe space to eat. You know, it's
right.
You know, we incorporate education as well, which is important to me. But it's full circle.
Well, it has many social elements too, and I imagine people become friends. And I mean, look at what happened with you and Dave through that. And I imagine there's many, many other connections from people, because look, the reality is if you're going on a regular cruise, not everyone is, you know, the biggest socialite in the world. And the only commonality is that you're on a cruise and you're going to the Caribbean, but people tend to keep to themselves and maybe, you know, one in however many hundred of people, maybe you might make a friend or something. But with this, it's like you all have camaraderie, and it's kind of novel too. So it's something to talk about. And that's quite cool. And so my understanding is that it's not an entirely separate ship. It's a separate section of a ship. Is that right?
Yeah. So at this point, you know, and watch us grow, we dedicate dining rooms. So essentially, you know, a lot of times people have asked me, why a cruise ship? Why not a resort? Why not this? And there's something very unique to cruise ships in that they have what they're called galleys, or kitchen galley, but it's stainless steel, like top floor to ceiling. And, you know, they always make jokes of like, there's anything urgent from a medical perspective, the cleanest place they go is those kitchen galleys. So they're able to clean these things top to bottom more so than any other type of environment. So the cruise ships have their independent galleys per deck. So there's three on the ship that we're on in March, it's a three deck dining room. So we have our own dedicated kitchen galley. So they're able to, you know, that entire dining room, as well as the kitchen, is 100% dedicated breakfast, lunch, and dinner for gluten-free.
Got it. And so even with that, you had 500 people in, so how big is the ship?
So this ship, the particular one, it's about a little shy on full occupancy of 4,000. Okay. So, you know, we'll essentially be a third of it this March, because we have more people coming. We have an early and a late seating. And we also have evolved in that we are going to try and create more relaxed dining experiences for people. I mean, that sometimes, you know, everybody loves different parts of cruising. And sometimes if people have any feedback, it's like, oh, I have to be here at this time. So again, with guest feedback of, you know, wanting to be able to really just relax, we have now more of the quick service type place that will be have a dedicated space coming from our kitchen as well, and some other unique like late night opportunities for people to eat as well, because, you know, no one wants to worry like, oh, no, I'm hungry. It's 10:30. What do I do? Yeah. Like, there's nothing to eat. So we're trying to really think through every type of scenario.
I appreciate that because I'm definitely one of those people who, you know, like 11 p.m. I'm like, all right, what are we eating right now? Yes, especially exactly. When I'm on vacation. So when Marina contacted you, apparently you were on board a ship verifying its safety. Can you walk us through what that means to get on a ship and verify safety? Because I imagine it would, if I were to contact, I would just take them at their word and they're like, yeah, it's safe. And I'll be like, okay, it's safe. But you are going a step beyond. So tell me about that.
Well, I mean, I think this is where it's personal to me, because I think anybody with a dietary restriction can tell you a story off the top of their head of when someone told you something and it wasn't really the case. So, you know, I put my name on this. Celiac Cruise puts our name on this, our brand. It's important to us. So people really, really know that every box has been checked. So we do a lot of vetting, a lot of, you know, walking through the kitchen galleys. We do a lot of training. So before every sailing, we take, you know, not me, but a professional from Boston Children's Hospital to train this entire cruise ship. We're talking the busboys, the kids club, like anybody and anyone who's going to be in contact with our guests will have at least a 20-30 minute, you know, briefing on what celiac disease is and why people are so serious about this. And, you know, part of my like larger mission is to hope that this continues to trickle to, you know, just inform and really open people's eyes about, you know, dietary restrictions in the hospitality industry. So you think someone leaves this particular ship and maybe goes to a different company. I hope that they take this brief, you know, training that we go through of the whys and, you know, hope they take that with them. But no, we, you know, we have some really funny pictures from the first training, you know, because these, they work round the clock, right? So we were, you know, in the guest services, little quarters, you know, at 1 a.m, you know, training their staff because that's when they had free time to be able to. But I mean, it also, I think, really made our guests get on board and know that immediately beforehand, you know, they know what they're talking about. And that's all about about the initial, you know, questions and responses. So, you know, we do at least two to three. We were just on board, December to walk through. It's called our site inspection, to talk through every detail of how things are going to go.
Wow.
And then on March 17th, we're going to train the whole ship again. So,
let's say you have one training on a ship before, you know, your scheduled sailing. Would you have to train the same ship again before the next sailing, or is it just one time?
No, we train them again because crew change. I mean, and also we all know what, you know, the company, just being able to recall and remember, you know, we want to make sure it's fresh in their head. So that's a perfect example. This ship is the same one we were on in January 2020, but, you know, there's different crew. So we will be back on, you know, right before to train the whole ship again.
So do you think these companies are now better off in general for their just for their general trips? And if Celiacs end up going on one of those sailings because of your training?
You know, it's funny because, of course, I follow the social media groups, for better or for worse, about all the different, you know, travel and things like that. And we did have a lot of feedback, as did Royal Caribbean, on people really feeling like they understood Celiac. Yeah. We had the best experience, you know, a month after us on the Mariner of the Seas because, you know, they received training on it. I mean, to be honest, I know that they do a wonderful job of doing, you know, non-specific to celiac disease,
right,
allergen training. You know, this is not their first, you know,
of course,
read over of what this is, but, you know, from a specific perspective. And we also don't totally limit it to celiac because there's a lot of people who join us who are, you know, just don't eat gluten for whatever reason. So, but
that makes sense. So how did the cruise ship companies then initially react to the proposal? Like, how did you, cause it's a very, big vision, big idea. You know, it's kind of intimidating almost as an entrepreneur to go from just an idea and probably a PowerPoint or some executive summary and then finding the right people to contact and saying, hey, I'm going to dictate to you how you're going to run your ship and you're going to make a special sailing for us. And it's like, that's very intimidating. So how did you navigate that? And why are you such a badass?
Well, there's been many people along the way that I feel that have mysteriously doors have opened that I think have gotten us where we are today. I mean, I think there's a mutual respect. I think that there are certain things that I will never understand of how a cruise line operates the day in, day out, what, you know, onboarding and taking this off the ship and, you know, the shipping protocols. And I have learned a lot and it's been eye-opening of what they can and cannot do. But I think they're, you know, the first person that we kind of came in contact to, and I anybody who's had much conversation with me at all has heard this story in that, you know, I have a little mama bear about me and we were on our call and I was going on and on about how like dangerous cross contact is and how, you know, like a crumb and blah, 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 blah. And this sweet woman who's shoreside in the F&B department was just letting me talk and go and go. And then, I don't know, a few minutes later, maybe more than a few, she was like, Maureen, I'm going to, I think, make your month. She was like, I too have celiac disease. And I kid you not, I remember exactly where I was. I goosebumps. Like it was one of those things that I just knew someone who understands this at the beginning of this journey was only going to make this that much easier because there is an understanding of what we can do and what we can't do.
Yeah.
So that was a big piece of it. And I think, again, you go in knowing that this is what we do. This is what they do. You know, they were the ones who were very, very intent on us doing our training because I think everybody wants this to be successful.
Who was the first?
It's something that.
Who was the first company then? Who, like, where was that contact from?
Connie Saunders, who, you know, the travel side of Celiac Cruise. So she has multiple contacts, you know, and we just, you know, came across a lot of really great people who wanted to listen. And I think that everybody has learned so much at the same time, you know, just taking a step further of, oh, you are allergic to X or whatever, you know, they just really start to really begin to understand how impactful this is on a family's travel, you know? And I think that eyes were open because of it.
Congratulations, first of all, on making that happen and having the doors open, because celiac disease is hard enough as it is. It's nice to get a few breaks along the way. And I'm happy it happened for you. Do you find that, because as it is with, essentially this is planning an event, and in my personal experience, event planning can be very stressful, especially when it comes, when part of it is the fact that you have to sell tickets to plan the event. You have to hit like a quota and so on. The planning of the event is hard enough. And then when the financial side of it comes in, it's like, oh my God, it's exponentially more stressful. Are you able to enjoy when you go on these cruises, or are you sort of making sure everything is running properly? And like, is this a vacation for you, or is this, you know, a stressful job with a nice view?
Oh, what a question. I think I have a few answers. I mean, again, I'm incredibly passionate about this, and that, you know, because this impacts my family. It's not just something I do because it was a cool idea. So I think about every passenger joining us, like, you know, someone in my family and what would happen to them. And we all know people react differently. And again, they've put our trust in us and our cruise partners to keep them safe. So that in itself is something a bit stressful. But that's why we do a lot of the training and the work beforehand. So we know that once it's go time, you know, yes, there's going to be some circumstances that need to be altered. And, you know, anybody who was on the first one can think of the one that I'm talking about. And it's actually kind of a funny story now. But you know, it's something new for them as well. And we learned a lot from the first one. You know, I think we scared the bejesus out of everyone during those trainings, to a point that, you know, I had a crew phone. I was handed over a crew phone the first day. And let's just say that crew phone rang all night long, because we gave everybody wristbands, because we needed to make sure that only our group is able to come in our dining room. That's how we ensure that gluten's not in the dining room. That's why we, you know, we have specific events like these educational, you know, we bring a medical crew on board to talk about research. So we want to make sure our guests know that's why this is for them. So everybody, a part of the party, was given the wristband. So assuming like the crew would see people out and about outside of the dining room with the wristband. And so an adult would say, I'd like a piece of pizza. 2:30 in the morning. You can have a piece of pizza. You have the wristband on. This has gluten in it. No, my son has celiac disease. I don't have celiac disease. So the phone would ring. And it just, but again, it's comical because they took it that serious. It wasn't something that, you know, people were like, eh, whatever. And so, yeah, I mean, now we've had a conversation that if it's an adult, like, and they're asking for something, they need to know their own health and know their own bodies and, you know, all these things that we, so that was just kind of one of the funny ones. And then the other thing is, you know, if we had a breakfast buffet kind of set up for the first morning, which was a Saturday morning, and, you know, we were giving the feedback to the cruise line that, you know, these people are really excited to eat. Like, this is a first for them. And they're like, yeah, I know, but we're going to open the dining room at 7:30 and we're going to run it till 10. I was like, okay. And they're like, statistically, 27% of people show up at 7:30 and 40% show up at 8. You know, they've got this and they've done it how many thousands of times, right? They know what they're doing. That's their lane. You know, we were all kind of like, oh boy, I hope we match those statistics. Lo and behold, that first morning when we're like, you know, I'm in there kind of getting everybody prepped and, you know, welcoming, you know, we open those doors and one of the team members looks at me and it's like, you know, sorry, kids, if you're watching, oh shit, everybody was there. Everyone, like all of our guests were lined up at 7:30, ready to eat. And that was something that, you know, no one could have anticipated, but it just goes to show how food, you know, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
They didn't want to sleep. Whereas, so it was, but now we can chuckle and think back, but there'll be adjustments made because of that. So,
right. So in theory, as you have more sailings, it'll get less and less, stressful and less, calls on the crew phone.
Yes.
Got it. So one question that I have, just from cruise ship perspective in general and food, how does it work? Are you just given a set menu? Can you choose? Does it change? Like how often, like what is that dining experience like?
Well, what's interesting is we have a lot of people who come to us who have said, you know, we've cruised a lot, you know, this is what we really love about cruising, you know, the traditional menu that comes with a cruise. And then we have a lot of people who've never set foot on a cruise ship before and probably wouldn't have if it weren't for this opportunity. So, you know, keeping that in mind that we have a lot of first-time cruisers, I think that, you know, the menu, they do try and replicate a little bit of what is traditionally served. But, and that's also a fun part for us is really teaching them, you only have to change a few of these ingredients. It's not, you know, I think people see gluten-free or dairy-free, you know, it's just, wow, we have to do all these different things. But, you know, there's a little bit of an education of, oh, wow, it's really two things we have to change here and it's safe. So we try and let them lead that a little bit. But we listen to our guests too. I mean, last time people really wanted escargot because that's what they're used to having on cruise ships. So we're trying to put, you know, just certain things like that. You know, to me, I think about the baked goods, you know, like that's one thing that, you know, I have sailed with my family outside of this on Royal Caribbean. And, you know, it's that big baked good tray that comes around. And I'm always like, no, like from miles away, don't bring that over here because you can't bring that in front of a 7, 9, and 11-year-old and then be like, no, sorry, you can't have that. Yeah. So we're really trying to put some of that stuff back into the experience. So it just feels like a normal cruise.
So is it like a buffet format or you just order off a menu and it comes to your table?
So we have the dining room that I spoke of, like with the kitchen galley, and that is for the most part, that's table seating. So you have a menu and you can select and we try and, you know, we were split right down the middle, which I love in terms of adults traveling without children and then families. So we truly try and make sure there's, you know, young kid friendly food. You know, they did a corn dog last time and just some stuff that really, you know, kids can't typically get off a menu. We do have, you know, a few meals that are buffet set up but for the most part, the setup this time is going to be in the dining room. It's going to be, you know, seated with a menu. And then they have that other option that I mentioned up on higher up on the ship that you can do more of a quick service run through. So
got it. Wow. So what is the big grand vision of Celiac Cruise? And as some people have mentioned, obviously there are resorts that you could do this at. There's certainly different formats that it could apply to. Tell me about the big, you know, marine grand vision and scope. Like if I was a billionaire investor, what would you be pitching me as the vision?
Well, again, as I've continued to say, you know, I'm in this for, you know, the people who were diagnosed yesterday, who will be today and then tomorrow. So I think that, you know, thinking about big picture, you know, we continue to listen to what our guests, where they want to go. You know, a big thing was the rivers, you know, in Europe. So now we're working with AMA Waterways and we're chartering two river cruise boats this fall on the Danube River. So, you know, it's a very different experience than an ocean liner. And, you know, so really trying to create something for everyone. If sailing on a big ocean liner is not your thing, then how about a worry-free trip, you know, down the Rhine River through all these wonderful little quaint towns with the safe, you know, everywhere. You know, we're going to try, we're going to vet all of those towns and find gluten-free options in there. And just to really, really give people the chance to do that as well. But big picture, because I don't know anything more powerful is thinking about having an entire ship 100%. I mean, granted, we are doing that in Europe, but those are smaller ships. But like this ocean liner concept, 100% gluten-free. Like I walk through on these trainings, you know, and I look around, and, you know, there's venues everywhere on these ships where you can eat, you know, oh, there's pizza, there's that, there's this. But just, and I can't get that out of my head walking down the promenade and looking left and looking right and just imagining every single crumb on that entire ship, you know, being gluten-free. So it's a big goal, but it's definitely in our plans. Because I just think it's a statement for our community, the allergen community, the celiac community. It's a statement to be able to say, you know what, we can do this and together we can do this. And that's why I'm just so appreciative of the Gluten-Free Daves, the you guys, the Celiac Disease Foundation and Char and all the different, you know, people who've gotten behind me without truly, you know, saying, is this girl crazy? But because that's how we're going to get there is being together.
Yeah, no, I do agree that together is the way to get there. And I think for a while it's been everyone or every group fighting their own battle. And the thing with Honeycomb is that we're trying to bring everyone together because there's actually it's easier to show an economic benefit when everyone is grouped together as opposed to separate. So if you just look at celiac, or you just look at, you know, nut free and you look at dairy free, it's like alone, they're not as powerful as if they're grouped together. And if restaurants and if other facilities, food facilities can focus on, okay, well, there's actually huge portion of the market that have dietary restrictions and it's just increasing. We therefore need to make our system more accommodating by default. It cannot be something that is reactive, like, oh, we have someone who's like abnormal. Mm-hmm. Abnormal is now like 30%+ of the population. It's like, that's not minority anymore. That's like a huge segment of people. And not to mention people who might be totally healthy are still extremely conscious about what they're putting in their bodies. And that's just getting more ubiquitous as well with the new age of people and dietitians becoming more prominent. So I do say that we're in a enlightenment period of eating and we're understanding what's going in our body and what's causing problems. One quick question is, as far as multiple dietary restrictions, so let's say you're primary celiac, but you have some other things, you maybe lactose intolerant, so on. Are they okay to book with you?
Yes. So, you know, that's been another, I mean, I'm an open, honest book, obviously from the beginning, you know, the focus was gluten. And I think we know, I mean, comorbidity of dairy intolerance with people with celiac disease is high. So, mm-hmm. you know, and the same thing with lactose, like it's something that is, it comes with it. And we have definitely spent a lot of time in our off time, you know, talking about making sure there's options, you know, I mean, yes, it's gluten first, but definitely there's going to be options for the other allergen. And that's where I lean back on these cruise line partners who do know, they do understand, you know, so it's not something that's new to them. So they are more than willing to accommodate, you know, whether it top eight, whatever it may be.
Right. So. That's excellent. That's good news probably for everyone listening, waiting for that answer. I wonder how it is. I guess I haven't had too many conversations, just a handful, about the, airline experience for people with celiac. How is that? Is it just about like, okay, if you're on an international flight, you just ask them in advance, is there even an option or you just bring your own food?
Well, you know, you hear mixed stories. I mean, I think, unfortunately, for better or for worse, I think it's more of a rare, you know, that things, I mean, you do read these stories that, wow, they accommodated things like that. But I don't know if anyone's ever, especially, you know, flying overseas, a longer flight, ever confident enough in that not to pack something, you know, and one step at a time, right? I mean, I think that, like you said, the more awareness we can create to the making this normal, the more people are going to listen. And I think that is our starting point for many things here. So,
I just hate sometimes that the answer is like, well, it's if you have a dietary restriction, just don't be hungry. Because even if it's a 5-hour flight, like I fly for like Vancouver to Toronto, it's like I'm hungry after like 15 minutes.
Yeah. No, and it's and you know that's it's paralyzing of like, what am I gonna eat? What if what if I can't find something? And it's an emotion that I don't think people fully understand until you're put in that situation for either a caregiver or you know yourself.
Yeah, I really look forward to that future. And of course, without innovators like yourself, we're not going to see that future because it has to start somewhere. And it really is important work to do on the ground, making it happen. Because eventually, if you really, you know, on this podcast, we like to take it to the future sometimes too. And I do see, like, you hear like Elon Musk, for example, you know, he wants to, I don't know, have like a city of like 1 million people at some point on Mars. Right. Okay. Maybe that's like the big crazy goal. But even if you're transporting hundreds of people, that's like it's like a 6-month journey or something like that. And it's like, eventually we're going to need to figure out like dietary needs literally outside of our planet, moving forward. And I think at that point, everyone's health needs are going to be personalized, because if you think about the health requirements of a trip like that, they're going to need to know everything about you. And then they're going to need to know, you know, what type of exercise is necessary, or what type of sleep is necessary, and then what type of food is necessary to keep you in a healthy functioning state, to get you to the destination. So I'm really excited, because I do think that this is starting to highlight all of our unique attributes as people, and how food plays such an important part in our health. And it's not just like man, I just remember growing up, like dietary restrictions is something that you just write down on like your RSVP card for like a wedding. And like, other than that, just don't talk about it. Or like maybe if you're at school, but it's gonna be like more of something that comes to the forefront, until it becomes so ubiquitous that we don't even think about it anymore. And it's just obvious that you go somewhere and they have what you want. But anyways, this is just my imagination running wild now.
No. I mean, if it's, you know, small, there's a path. And I think it's one of those things that, like, you know, we got to start someplace, and it's necessary, you know, and awareness is what does it. I think making people aware that it's everywhere, and it's more common, you know, with the more awareness. I mean, that's the thing, as we all know, with a lot of this stuff, with celiac specifically, the more people who hear about it. I mean, I have dear family friends who, you know, stopped and was like, wait a second, I wonder if, and lo and behold, that's what it was. So it's, There's a lot that comes with that as well.
When I heard about it initially, I was not surprised. In the Jewish community that I'm a part of, although I'm not super Orthodox or anything, but for some people, they have to follow a very kosher diet. And for years, they've had a kosher Passover you can do in Mexico, and you can do this trip and that trip. So it definitely has existed. And not to mention the rigorous... Now, it's not from a medical perspective, it's from a religious perspective, but they still go into the kitchens in a similar way and make the inspections and so on. So I don't know if you've come across similarities with that in your...
We have.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm nodding like this, because actually we have, you know, I think conversations, they do have a kosher cruise. And I think there's been some protocols and you know, just kind of pathways that have been associated with how we're handling things. So I actually have learned a ton about that. And, you know, we have a lot of passengers who are kosher as well. So we try and, incorporate that too. So.
Well, that's incredible. Everything that you're doing. Is there anything else that you want to share, with us? Obviously, you know, there is the elephant in the room, of course, that we don't really need to talk about, but, it seems that we're perhaps towards the tail end of those challenges. And I guess now you're the excitement is taking the forefront of these new sailings that you have set out, right?
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, you know, all we can do is hope, and you know, it's impacted all of us, you know, and we've taken it very serious. It's not something, you know, we have taken this serious, and you know, we're all ready when it's safe. Yeah. And I think that I feel confident in our partners, our travel partners, that they take it serious. So, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here right now if I didn't. So, yeah. And I've been on a handful of cruises since, and have, knock on wood, you know, been totally fine. So
I think we're headed in the right direction, there's no one on the planet that wants to extend this longer than it already has been. So let's hope for, let's hope for the best. And I wish you many, many successful sales with this. And, you know, who knows, I might, you know, come on one of these sooner or later when the time is right. But, for people who want to book their Celiac Cruise or learn more, they can go to celiaccruise.com, and I guess they can check out all the sailings there and everything, right?
Yes. Yeah. Everything is listed there. You know, we will be launching, you know, 2023 sailings in, you know, the next few months. And there'll be more to come. So we continue to listen to where people want to go and hope people can travel the world with us. So
you definitely want to book with Maureen, because I can tell you, I've met a lot of different entrepreneurs and different people. Maureen has her shit together, and she will make sure you and your family are safe. So go enjoy. Don't worry about anything and just have fun.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Not that you need my validation. I don't know if promotion.
My family would agree.
Well, family.
I
never...
hope my family may disagree with that statement. But,
family,
you know,
doesn't agree with too much. You know, that's what family does. They just gotta.
They love me, but
yeah, exactly, know. Exactly. Cool. Well, thanks again, Maureen, for coming on Across the Dietary Universe, and we look forward to an update on a future episode.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.